Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I've been the SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us with a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just go to the SFB On Call stream voice channel. And if you want to reach the server, just go to the sfuoncall.com website and there's invite right there. Also, if you want to watch us live as in the video stream, you can go over to Twitch at twitch.tv/sfuoncall is the way to join us there, and you can join the chat on that one. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, you can follow the SFU On Call account, or you can follow my personal account, Paul France, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. Yeah, there's no T in that. And of course, there's also my business account, France Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-A-M-E-S. Again, there's no T in that. Surprising. And of course, I have two Blue Sky accounts. That's the sfuoncall.bsky.social and also the francegames.com account. And also, this lovely TalkCast, SketchTendo podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news, actually. Steve, your timing. Oh, he posted exactly at 9:30 last Thursday. So I missed this. I wish you would, Steve, could you have done a little bit earlier, you know? I could have concluded last week's, but nope, that's fine. We got plenty of news here. We had a good meeting last week, so there's a project. Some of them will be released next week, as in this week. I have not heard them announcement, so obviously there's probably next week, as in next week. Some will be part of the second release, perhaps in February. These projects include Civil Wars. Gene has done all the proofreading. Steve Cole still has to finish the rule book, and Steve Petrick finished his review, and Ryan said he would update the SIT, as Petrick had noted. Steve Cole also needed to update the Wind cluster map and contact Chuck about technical details on two maps and contact And he contacted also Matt Lawson about the cover. The counters are due tomorrow. They actually did receive those counters. I saw the other post that he did on that. So they want to push it into a big release in January. So sometime in the next week or two. When it comes to Star Mata, Rumors of War. Gene presented the cover done by Simone. Okay, took me a moment. I want to get the pronunciation right. And which Steve Cole approved, except for the stock number which Gene needed to assign. This could be ready for a PDF release in the January batch. Ryan Master Starship book. I haven't heard about that for a bit of time, just because of, I know a lot of it's been finished, and yep, they said this was finished until a staffer sent a late report. Monday or Tuesday of last week, Steve Petrick and Steve Cole will review that report and see if this can be part of the January batch or wait for February. So in other words, a late report that might have some issues that need to be corrected. Module K update for this year. It's nearly finished. Albert needs to do some page layout work, but otherwise, they're done. Call to Arms Book 3. Wow. Had not heard much about this. Obviously heard on and off about the update to another book for Call to Arms. It's not finished. Book 3 is not finished yet, but I think it might make February. Probably later in the spring, though. And that's one of the big issues that each entry needs to list the 3D printed ships used for the product. And of course, they still need to have the contract done, which I was hoping they'd have it done by now, but Obviously not. And also, Steve Cole was told that by Tony Thompson that he wants to go through it again before the release. He wants to double check on things because that's kind of his baby. That is Tony Thomas. And of course, the IFC Master Sharp. Let's try this again. IFC Master Starship book. That's well on the way to be finished, but just have to do the art a few months before this release. So that's probably, I'm thinking, you're saying a few months, I'm thinking summer versus spring, because of everything else that seems to be on the plate. And I know how things can go with Steve and the crew, and in that they have issues on and off. When it comes to found on the online store for this week, we have the other side of the SFB basic counter set. This one is the premium counter set. Now, given this is the premium counter set, which is been laser cut, it's the same 280 counters from the previous one, which was only $9.95. I think it was $9.95. The 995 or 795, let me do a quick check on that. It was 795. Okay, now the laser cut ones, these are the really premium counters. If you want these, it's gonna cost you $30. So if you really want these beautiful counters, you really are a stickler for how good the counters are, it's gonna cost you $30. So if you want them, it's $29.95 right there in the online store. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to SFB Online tournaments, Sapphire Star tournament, still we have only seven players signed up. I'm gonna Seth asked to see who actually has signed up at the moment, and I can understand that because he probably wants to bug those who have not signed up yet. I will do a posting of that shortly. The 500 BPD tournament is still going on. Me and Justin still haven't gotten together. I need to contact him. I think he's frustrated and I'm frustrated. So I think that's why everything's been silent for the past couple of weeks when it comes to trying to get together on it. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the Starfleet Warlord, sorry, standard game number 98 is now closed to new players. Those slots will now be filled by NPCs with, I forget, a 1,000 point base, and I forget what else. There's some other things I don't quite remember. The special these I'd have to look at the what I have set up for the rules for this one, but just to let you know, there's sorry, any if you want in, it's now too late. Sorry. We're going to Die Hard 58 and 59. They're still going strong. People have been keeping up, and it's been going good. Just for those of you who know people in the Starfleet Warlords, just keep Jim Jarama in your prayers. He was in and out of the hospital a couple, last week. And that's why he's been having problems lately. And I'm always concerned because, of course, best of my the Warlord players, they're getting up there in age. And I get concerned with them. When it comes to library progress, none there. I apologize. I need to get together with Frank and Matt and actually get that thing rolling in the whole updated process. Okay? So with that is the news for this week. It's me, so the other one, all Paul fans, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And happy birthday to me! Yes, it actually is my birthday. So today, of course, we have me and we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Are you okay? Sound a little
I've been sick all week.
okay.
Monday to Tuesday seemed like an entire week. Tuesday to Wednesday seemed like an entire week. Yesterday to today seemed like about half a week.
Well,
So I'm feeling a little better.
sounds like it.
But Oh my goodness, it's just been the gamut of like sleep debt stuff and sickness and all. Hold on, and I'll try not to cough and hack and wheeze the whole time.
Okay. Well,
But there's that. By the way, happy birthday to you. Everybody sing along. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul. That's all you're getting for now. Happy birthday.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Actually, that
I need to
reminds
go.
me. Actually, I need to check my Facebook page. That's because I know that my son told me happy birthday, and I talked to him. And he got wished me happy birthday on the phone too. But I know that he wants me to acknowledge that I got his message and so forth. And I'm sure there's other people on that category, on that list. It is just the way it is, guys. Being on Facebook is not my top priority. Not on any social media is not my top priority. Most of them I've ever on social media. Well, Facebook, I do every once in a while, and they've actually Facebook has improved itself quite a bit for me, which is that they've added multiple things to my stream, which I'm actually interested in. So they've done a good job. To keep me online for a longer period of time, which is cool and bad. And I have a couple other social media which I rarely check, and that's usually like on a Friday night when I've got something else going on. But anyway, now to start off this week, actually starting with this week, this is going to be a new way of new minor change to the format. We're still going to probably, we'll still be doing a topic or topics that we're going to discuss. But that lovely person, I don't think he gave us his name, that stopped by last week. And when it comes to answering questions, I thought about the idea of one thing I'd like to do. I still got to figure out how I'm going to do it. What I'd like to do is actually create a bunch of shorts where I answer rules questions, or go or even if I don't have someone asking me a rules question, come up with a question that I can answer and talk about that rule. Talk about, okay, what the what's the answer to that question. That's what I'm gonna starting this week. I'm gonna start doing that. This week will definitely Starfleet Battles. Obviously, the one thing that will improve this in my mind is that if for those people who are listening, if you would be so kind that if you have a question that you want answered, that you want me to answer, and obviously you can show up either in the chat room on Twitch or the voice chat over on Discord, and I'd be happy to talk you through it, any week. Or you can send me an email at sfuoncall@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to possibly talk to you about it, via email. And even better, I would love to I'll answer the question here on the podcast, here on YouTube. And if obviously the earlier in the week, the better it is. Because then I can prep for answering that question, anything that I need to do. This week I was going to do something relatively simple as a kind of a nice breaker kind of thing. And that is, how do HETs work, high energy turns? That's what I want to go over with people today. Obviously, people who know Starfleet Battles are going, this is boring. You can fast forward ahead if you want to, and that is fine with me. Obviously, if you want to, you can watch it and listen to it. I will do my best to have it so this is YouTube friendly, but also podcast friendly. I know I've got two audiences here that I'm trying to help. For those of you who are not as familiar with Starfleet battles, to beginners, that want to list, you know, want to have some answers, and maybe I can even turn this into a short, so that I can post it up so people can actually know this. So, Heinze turns. They're relatively simple. Now, there's two ways of, okay. On a high energy turn, it requires you, okay, let me just do this. A high energy turn requires 5 points of warp energy. Now, you can do that two ways. One, you can pre-allocate it using your energy allocation, obviously for your beginners that don't know how to use reserve power yet. That's the easiest way to go. Not 5 points of warp energy, 5 movement points of warp energy. So basically, the amount of actual warp energy needed is based on 5 movement points. Well, how much your movement point is. For example, the easiest, which is what you'll see on screen, is a Federation CA, is what it is. The Federation CA, I'll bring up the SSD real fast here. If you'll see, they have 30 warp, so what that normally means is that it's 1 point. It takes 1 point of warp power to move a speed of 1. So if you want to move speed 10, it costs you 10 points of energy. You want, in the case of a HET, that would cost 5 points of energy. If you were, let's say, you are on a relatively small ship, like a frigate, let's say a frigate, where the movement cost is 1/2. So it costs 1/2 point of warp to move 1. So for a HET, that'd be 2.5 points of energy. So you can either reallocate that in your energy allocation, or you can use reserve warp power. If you know how to do that, obviously for beginners, as I said, that is a little more of a little advanced topic when it comes to reserve power. That is definitely one topic I will definitely like to answer when it comes to, okay, how does reserve power work? I'll be happy if I don't have a question for next week. I will go forward next week with talking about reserve power, because I think that's a really interesting topic. It's definitely a topic that if you're going to play Starfleet Battles, you really need to know how to use it. So, now, of course, the question comes in, why do you want to do a high-energy turn? Well, the reason why you want to do a high-energy turn is twofold. Either you want to possibly change the orientation of your ship so that it will protect a down shield. You know, because in this case of this cruiser here, if let's say that you had another ship right over here on Hex 2207, currently the cruiser is in 1909, if at 2207, the ship, let's say Klingon D7, fires at your ship, the Federation CA, and puts it down shield. Now, if the Klingon fires again at you, you have a down shield, and it's going to give you more internals. So in that case, you want to head away, or at least turn. Now, the thing is, you might be required to do a head if your turn mode is not complete. So in the case of this ship, if you're moving like to say speed 12. I'm pretty sure that speed 12, actually, is it to heaven here? Yeah. Speed 12 has a turn, it has a turn mode of D. At speed 12, it means you have to go 3 hexes forward. So if you've only gone two, the only way that you're going to be able to change your facing is by a high energy turn. So you, that's another reason you do a high energy turn. Or if you have, say in this case, this ship, again in 1909, and there's a ship right directly behind you, and but you're fully overloaded. Photons are facing forward. Well, you can't fire at them. So you decide, okay, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to face him and I'm going to fire my full over the photons and destroy him. Well, hopefully. It's
Kind of
those dice can
simplified
be
it
very
there.
a finicky creature, can they not? What was that, Doug?
Can I interject a little bit? Yeah, the high energy turn, for those of you new to the Starfleet battle stuff, it's basically, it allows you to move outside of your normal move cycle. So, for instance, if you're not plotted to move, or you haven't reached the point where you've used up all your movement points for your turn mode and you're allowed to move again, it allows you to turn. And the implication of that is that if you have it plotted or you can use it through reserve warp, then it allows you to make either a significant defensive move or a very significant offensive move, such as putting weapons to bear. As Paul was just saying, with the four fully overloaded photons at point blank mode, where the Klingon opponent in this position thought he had outmaneuvered the Federation and wasn't going to eat those photons. The big thing about the het though is that you generally get one check, one that is like a checkbox on your SSD that you mark off when you've used it. Some ships get two, depending on special rules and whatnot. And once it's gone, once you've used it, it's you can still do it, but it's not necessarily safe. So like you have a thing called breakdown, and if you fail your het roll, you can go into breakdown, which is very bad and often a scenario ending thing for a particular ship. The the breakdown rating for the standard cruisers, like what you're seeing here, is usually a 5 to 6, and then you have a het bonus the first time that you use your het of 2, which means you get one free het essentially. But if you use it and then you try and do it again, then you have to roll. And each time that you break down, you get a degradation to that as well, assuming you don't get, destroyed totally before you ever get to use it again. So, it's a very, very interesting and significant tactic. It's one of the ones that you pretty much must learn, not just to necessarily use it, but to defend against it and to be ready for it. When you're tracking how much power your enemy has used, you'll be able to tell if they can hit back at you or not within a particular turn. That was all I had for the moment there. Go on.
Okay, so as was mentioned, there's multiple reasons why you'd actually would do a want to do a high energy turn. Now, when you, obviously, as Doug just pointed out, you can do high energy turns when you are not plotted to move. But here's the thing: just like since you are moving, you have that certain speed, you still move in the same order. The order of precedence still occurs. So if you're moving speed 15 and your opponent is moving speed 20, you have to, and let's say in your case, you're not moving that impulse. You're not plotted to move that impulse. Well, if you want to do a het to change your facing, you must announce that before your opponent moves. So, you know, that's one of those things. They're still within that order of precedence when it comes to when you do your high entry turn. Now, as was pointed out, when it comes to high entry turns, you have a breakdown rating. Depending upon the chip you have a breakdown rating. It can be anywhere from good to really bad. You can have as this one, you know, the cruiser has a breakdown rating of 1 to 4. That means that if you do a die roll, you do a high entry turn, you're taking a chance that if you roll a 5 or 6, because you're going to be rolling a die roll of 1 to 4 is success. If you roll a 5 or 6, you break down. There's some bad things that can occur when you break down from a high entry turn. Now, as pointed out by Doug, you have what's called a het bonus. A het bonus, you get 1 per ship. But there are some that get 2. Usually those are ships that are classified as nimble, like the Orions. A lot of the Orion ships have 2 het bonuses, which is so that in the case of a breakdown rating of 1 to 4, in the case of this ship, you have the het bonus, which is +2. So that means you have to roll a die roll of 1 to 6 on the first time you try to do a het. And of course, 1 to 6, da-da-da-da, a die, well, it goes from 1 to 6. So it's an automatic het. You know, there is no breakdown, possibility of breakdown in that case. There's no other changes for that, but I'm not going to go through some of the idiosyncrasies of het bonuses when it comes to a case of if you are attracting somebody, someone attract you, one of those two, that you actually kind of lose your het bonus kind of thing.
If you're tractoring it.
Okay, you're tractoring a ship and you het there.
It does not affect if you're being tractored.
Okay. So in that case, you have a -2 to your die roll. So your hit bonus goes kind of quote unquote goes away. That'd be bad. So the process is, okay, you announce you're gonna do a high entry turn, then if you don't have a hit bonus and you have a breakdown rating of less than 1 to 6, as in like 1 to 4, let's say this beautiful cruiser here, and let's say the cruiser has already used his first hit bonus, the only hit bonus he has. So he's going to do a hit. He has to roll a die. Rolls the die. And if he rolls a 1 to 4, yay, he's successful. He's allowed to hit. If, perchance, you don't succeed, he rolls a 5 or 6, then bad things happen. And let me just bring those up really quickly. Here's the first use adjustments, as pointed out, for breakdown, you subtract 2 from the die roll. Now, effects of a breakdown. Okay, this is the ship immediately. Okay, this is, you know, when you do the die roll, if you don't succeed, that's a breakdown. Now, if you break down the ship, your ship immediately stops. If you're going faster than speed 0, you're now 0. Now you have to roll an additional die. This is one which actually is interesting. And that is, you roll the die, and then you see let me look at this real quick, because I'm pretty sure. Okay, in the event of a breakdown, I knew this. That's what I thought. Okay, when you roll the die, you have to check to see, did you tumble? And now this is
I'm
commander's
so
level,
bad.
so this is not beginners. Okay, I'm pretty sure. Let me just double check one thing real fast. Yeah, this is commander's level versus advanced level, and that usually people go basic and then go all in. This is commander's level rule, which is in event of a breakdown, you roll one die. If the result is a one, that ship doesn't stop. It continues to tumble, which means that the ship continues for the post-breakdown period, moving at the in a direction and speed that it was moving before it attempted to do the hit. So if you were going direction A, you continue going direction A. But here's the problem. As pointed out in D6.5511, every impulse the remainder of the post-breakdown period during the final function stage of the attack activity segment, you roll one die. And then that die roll, you then turn the ship to face that die. What that die roll is. For example, so if you have a die roll of one, that's A, die roll two, that's B, three, C, and so forth, all the way going around to F, which is of course six. Six is F, direction F. Any previously spotted speed changes during this period are completely ignored. So if you had a midterm speed change plotted to reduce your speed, nope, you don't. You keep going that same speed. Which in some cases is a good thing, a lot of cases it's bad. Because you're tumbling off in the direction you don't want to be going to, spinning around. You're tumbling.
You're just basically out of control.
Yeah, you're completely out of control. Now, if you don't tumble, which is say, yay! Because tumbling can be really, really bad. So if you don't tumble, if you don't tumble, you then stop dead, as I pointed out earlier. Then, there's a post-breakdown period, which is for the next 16 impulses. In which case, the ship can't move, cannot move. If it's over a turn break, you still can't move. That gets really crazy when it comes to the post-breakdown period. Okay, and now that, okay, as mentioned, next turn extends speed zero. Now, what happens when you break down? The result is one third of your crew units are killed. They're dead. They're dead, Jim. Every fifth warp engine box is destroyed. Round fractions down when calculating those losses. This is distributed as evenly as possible between the ship's engines. Odd points are distributed by the owning player. So if you, if you have a small amount of engines, you might actually have to take two, like 1 point on one and 2 points on another, and then you could decide which one you want that apply to. Then also, you have two internal damage points. And this must be rolled on the deck. So you have, and note, of course, phaser direction does not apply because it's not from a weapon. Your breakdown rating also is reduced by one. For example, 4-6 becomes a 3-6. And possibly 2-6, becomes a 1-6 and so forth. It gets worse and worse and worse. Things like, of course, SAS field generators, expanding field generators, those also are lost if there's breakdown. All tractor beams generated by the ship suffering the breakdown are
Your effects
released.
are lost. Yeah.
So that's And of course,
Like if you have an ESG field up, it goes away, but your ESG is still there unless it gets damaged. So,
right. And also, no debt cruise activities. Now, obviously, for those of you who don't know what a debt cruise activity is, a debt cruise activity would be like preparing, if you had landed a shuttle. The deck crews have to prepare to, if you want to relaunch, you have to relaunch it. So any launches might be delayed because of that. Of course, there's a lot of deck crew activities. If you have fighters, those are like loading drones onto a fighter. Or, I think that things like that. And then, of course, so breaking down is a nasty little thing to happen. But the break, when it comes to the HET itself, is a very useful and very important tactical tool for anyone to that play Starfield Battles needs to know and needs to know how to employ. Obviously, especially if this is your second or third HET for the game, which is your if you're going that far, you really need to rethink your tactics if you need that happens. Obviously, sometimes that happens because your ship is, I'd say, outgunned. But I wouldn't, but that's not really the case, not outgunned. It's more of it can be is outmaneuvered. And it's your only possibility to recover from it. But obviously, the HET can be great or it can be really bad as the breakdown is. Now, just a reminder for a thing, which is, of course, non-ship units. Specifically, like seeking weapons. One thing is that, as pointed out here, you can't have a seeking weapon make a HET for no reason. Because the one thing about seeking weapons, when they actually make a HET, a drone, a plasma, they do not move. They might be like a plasma might be moving speed 32. But even though it moves every single impulse, when you
It just
actually
moves.
when it
It's
makes
just
a
dead.
HET, in which it what might be required to keep the target within the FA arc,
Yep.
or at least FX arc, because of it can, if it's an FX arc, it's still not required to HET, but you can HET without the FA arc. It doesn't move; it stays in that hex. And then, of course, after I forgot the one thing to mention, which is for ships, after there you do a successful high energy turn, you have post-HET restrictions. And this is one thing you need to keep in mind immediately. During the impulse that the ship performs a HET, and for 1/8 of a turn, that's four impulses. Thereafter, the ship cannot, one, dock with another unit. Two, be docked by another unit, launch or recover PFs, launch or land shuttles. That includes those that are seeking course, i.e., like seeking suicide shuttles. It can't launch fighters. It can't launch fighters, launch regular shuttles. It can't land them. Can't lay mines from a bay or rack. And for the Andromedans, they can't launch or recover satellite ships. So this is
There's a
and
bunch of reasons not to, but yeah.
so that's one thing you need to keep in mind that
If you think back to your classic Star Trek episode where they do their HET in the ship and everybody leans off to the side or whatever, that's sort of what's happening in that time frame. That's why they can't do anything extra.
Yep.
It affects a whole bunch of different individual actions within a ship. So,
Yep.
yeah, your
Oh.
deck crews are hanging on for dear life. Your repair crews are hosed. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, a reminder, which is that is energy turns cannot be done on impulse one, just like everything else, where ships normally can't move on impulse one, period. And that includes
With
energy turns.
rare exception, there are very rare exceptions, but yes.
This is a weird one, which here, which is, it to me it's crazy that I had to put this rule in here, which is 180 degree limit. No het can exceed 180 degrees. That seems to be a meaningless rule, but it is required to prevent a technical loophole in seeking weapon rules. So, CG 755.55, which you can understand that why you'd want to actually have it greater than 180 degrees, because you might actually have it in, like, let's say, you want to actually do a 270 degree turn, so it's FA arc, but you want to do a more a greater than 100. Yeah, it's crazy. So they put it in there. Time, as they said, it might be seem meaningless, but it's not. And
It's
obviously,
not there for you to do donuts with. It's there for you to change the bearing of your unit.
right.
So like if you're in a ship, there's no point in you doing the het to end up pointed back in the same direction that you were. They want you to either end up on any other hex, which would be like less than 180 technically, or 180. So. But at 360, it's just too much.
Wow.
I'm sure somebody could get all pedantic and say, oh, but you should be able to do that. And the question is, good, but why? Defeats the purpose of doing the thing.
Yep, agreed. And also, here's a crazy one, which I wanted to look up just to make sure that there wasn't anything when it comes to it, but. You can actually lose a high energy turn in combination with a tactical maneuver. At the moment,
Yes.
I can't imagine why you'd want to do that.
I can tell you.
Okay, by all means, please, Doc.
You do your het. I put my four photons straight into your ship at point blank range. And you say, oh, I don't like that very much. And you do a het because you have the better turn mode. And you get out of that. And I then go, oh, well, I've got my other attack move here and I go one hex and you're back in my thing. They're also considered separate movements.
Oh, I never considered separate movement. I'm just trying to figure out. I'd have to look up the impulse chart. Not impulse chart, I mean the impulse segment chart. Because I know that obviously if you are able to do attack and maneuver, that means you're moving speed zero.
Right, an attack move comes last, anyways.
Right, attack move comes last, and so does, and since you're moving speed zero, you also move last. And it comes to order of precedence.
You
Now,
would be moving at a speed of one, though, because you're using your warp power to move.
yeah, but hets are not considered movement.
Correct, but they take warp movement power to do. It, if you plot your het as part of your normal movement, then you have less movement. While it's not considered technically movement of its own, it's still movement of a sort. There's a difference.
Okay, I just realized the technical situation where this might occur. If you have two people who are both doing or both moving speed zero, therefore both of them can do tactical maneuvers. If you do a het first, which comes before tactical maneuvers, then your opponent reacts to that by using a tactical maneuver. You can then do a tactical maneuver in reaction to his reaction. Wow.
Yeah, good luck with that. If you're in that spot. Yeah. The plus side is that if you're in that particular spot, by that point, you probably aren't worrying too much about what it takes to blow up your opponent and vice versa.
Yeah, my guess would you'd be at that point protecting a...
As a matter of fact, at that point, you might even be asking the question of why are you plotting ahead? You could use those 5 points for something else, like having shields up and stuff.
it's
all circumstantial.
Right, and yeah, because if you're not facing your opponent at that time that you're both moving speed zero...
So,
you know, let's say that you...
Was there a particular thing we were addressing with the hats tonight?
I think you might have missed it, which is the whole idea
I might have missed it.
This is the way the new format's going to be, which I'm going to be answering a question at the beginning of the podcast.
Gotcha. And the question was, what about hats?
Yeah, how do hats work?
Oh, okay.
So I figured I would go through
through
that so that those beginners who don't know the rules would have a reference on how to use high energy turns.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to do more of these. And as I mentioned earlier...
Now, do you think we pretty much answered the question there?
Yeah, agreed. What I plan on doing, if I don't hear anything from anybody else, if I have a question, which I mentioned, you'll send an email to sfuoncall@gmail.com. I will, the next week will be about reserve power and how it works and how to use it. You know, what do you have to do? What is the steps in doing that? I'm not going to start that now, because otherwise all this is going to be is the podcast this week of answering questions about Starfleet battles. And obviously, what I'm hoping is that we will not just focus on Starfleet battles, but will, you know, Federation Commander or possibly Starfleet Warlord. Stephanie, I'll try. Actually, if I get an F&E question from somebody, I will try to engage, like Chuck or Tony, about.
You could ask me.
I trust them more because they've played more. I think.
It depends on what the question is,
though. Yeah, or I could ask Steve Cole because, Lord knows, he likes Federation Empire. He liked that a lot.
But I'm also right here.
Understood. How many games have you played?
Quite a bit. I played a good bit of that back in the day, just not recently.
Right. Well,
the player base for that is even smaller than, SFB.
Oh, understood. And the reason why I ask, because obviously the big issue might come in when it comes to Federation Empire is, since you haven't played it for a while, have those rules change when it comes to answering that one question, you know?
Yeah. Oh, who knows?
Oh yeah. Agreed. That is the key thing. Who knows? I don't know. And this is assumed to get an F&E question. We'll have to...
I sincerely doubt that you will.
Me too.
But
I agree. But, you know, if there are people out there, please Then send your questions. So move onward and forward to the topic. Actually, I had a thought this week and I just wanted to go through it. Because of knowing the architecture of the client. I had a crazy idea, and the thing is, I'm not sure if I can, if I'm able to do it, whether it, if I could just do some, do something relatively, closer to what you were explaining last week, which is the ability, as most new games these days, they actually will, as a, for a beginner, they will kind of have a kind of quote unquote tutorial, a walkthrough with you, which they go step by step with you. Okay, press this button, press this button, press this button, press this button, enter this into the field, select this, that kind of thing. And yeah, for steps going forward. I'm not sure if I'm, given the architecture of the client, whether I'm actually able to do that.
Okay.
But the one thought I had, and I'm not sure how well this would work, which is that weird idea, that I'm bringing it up just because I want to possibly work through it a little bit, maybe get your input on it, which is the idea, which is kind of crazy because of, we got all these AIs and so forth, and the whole idea of a chat AI, and hold on for a moment. I need to clear my throat, and I don't want to blow out everyone's eardrums. And that is to have a box, and the idea would be that the title of the box is "What do you want to do?" And then you would put in this little chat box what you want to do. Okay, so I want to add a piece to the game. And then it would go and highlight that, okay, press this button to add a piece. Or, I want to turn my ship right. And then either you bring up maybe a quick little video that would show you how to do it, or have it so that it actually did it itself, things like that, and that would basically act as a helper for people,
like a tool tip.
To a certain degree, the tooltip is more passive. In that you hover over certain items and it tells you what the item does. This is more of asking you, okay, what do you want to do, and then possibly helping you to perform that action, either by explaining how to do the action or doing the action for you. As I said, it's kind of a crazy idea because of, I still want to do some more tutorials, especially the ones that I want to do is for that training manual, possibly even maybe do one for first missions. For those of you who don't know what first missions is, First Missions is basically a beginner's rule book free from Star from ADB, which explains Federation Commander. And the idea there would be that maybe go through first missions, though it's first missions. It's less of the like the cadet training manual. The wonderful part of the cadet training manual is that it is a manual which is trying to teach you how to play Starfleet battles. And the great thing about having a tutorial using the client to show you how the how to learn how to play Starfleet battles, it'd be at the same time as I'm trying to teach you how you have a tutorial on the cadet training manual, it would also teach you how to use the client at the same time. So I think that is be really cool. I think that'd be great, because it fulfilled kill two birds with one stone. Now, obviously, I would really recommend, like anyone else, because here's the thing that I know, which is when it comes to learning, everybody has their own way of learning. Some people, it is, they learn best by listening. Some people learn best by reading. Some people learn best by watching videos. You know, obviously, at some point, the rubber hits the rails, and you have to try to do what has been explained to you. And that's when having an additional person who knows things, and you can ask them questions. That's always when that person is really, really helpful, having another person who knows the rules and knows the game system. But Starfleet Battles Cadet Training Manual was created in an age, it's kind of like today, in that, the idea was that for someone could just pick it up from the rack, wouldn't cost that much. It doesn't cost nearly as much as Starfleet Battles itself. And you could learn how to play Starfleet Battles by yourself. You wouldn't need anybody else. And it took you step by step through the process. Mm-hmm. I thought was an excellent thing to do. Obviously, currently they don't have one for Federation Commander. They have First Missions, which is basically a trimmed down version of the rules. That's what basically it is. I know that obviously for Federation Commander, there actually is rules for a robot player. So implementing the robot player would be, I think, some people would really like. We've got some of that already built into the client. The tough part, obviously, is connecting it all up so that the game itself that information can then be brought into the robot engine. And so it knows where you are, where the pieces are, and so forth. So that's the one piece that's currently missing, that interaction between the two. Because I forget who was it that actually implemented that. I forget the guy's name. He's one of the people that's helped me with the client over the years. But he helped me out and then poof, disappeared. But I appreciate every one person who's helped me with the client and continue to help me with the library. Frank LeMay, Matt Potter, Matthew Potter. There's another guy, a new guy. So the help out with that. So anyhow, I thought it's an interesting idea. I haven't fully fleshed it out. How that would how That would work. But anyhow. Now, when it comes to gamers, yeah, obviously I slacked. I'm sorry. I meant to put out last weekend and I did not.
Okay.
Forgive me, O great and mighty one.
So, when can you have a schedule to me of what you want to do? Just write it out.
Okay.
Pull up notepad, write out this time, this that time, that time, and copy and paste into a message to me.
Okay. Let me actually do some real quick. Do.
I am sincerely concerned about turnout.
Understood.
Trying to lower the cost, and the venue told me that no, it's either I cut Monday out or I leave it there. And it's like when I asked about it online, there's a handful of people saying they like having Monday because that's their day, and some of them can't make it Saturday, and that's their quiet time for the small group of us, and so forth and so on. And I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I tried talking to the venue about asking if they would just gutter half the room and charge us less, and they're like, nope. I'm like, so I might try and talk to them tomorrow. I have until the 12th of February to make my final decision on that part. But the D&D people have talked to me a little bit, and their big group that turned into a very small group this summer has basically, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before on the podcast or not, but what they were doing, the new owners of D&D are talking about coming out and doing a new version of it. And they're all waiting to see what comes out. And in the meantime, they're not doing anything. So for us, that's a horrible thing. I sent them a message and said, okay, well, if that's the case, would you consider doing something different? Like run an old school D&D dungeon crawl, or run a bunch of, old school tournament modules, like it may be super nostalgic, but there might be a lot of the younger generation that never played like Against the Giants or that series and never played in tournament mode, or that never played in the old fashioned sense of, hey, here's all the random generation stuff. We'll just randomly make a dungeon, and to do a dungeon crawl with. So that never played the original old school game of get in, get the treasure, get out kind of thing. And haven't heard back from them. But, I asked them, I'm waiting to see what they have to say, if they're willing to like throw up something different on their schedule. And say, here's what we'll do. So I can go out and say to like all these other threads, hey, look, here's these guys. They're going to be running this thing at our event this weekend. Feel free to come out for it. Here's the times. But it's like, if I had known what they were telling me like a month ago, I might have renegotiated our contract. Or moved us into maybe a different room altogether. Because I also asked about like just getting a smaller room for Monday in the same building. And they're like, no, they won't do that. So You know, I'm not going to cancel the event. And I'm leaning a lot towards eating the Monday cost. But I don't want to do that because of being freaking homeless right now. You know, that hurts. That hurts more. But on the other hand, I value the people that are at saying that they like the Monday part and they're going to be there on Monday. And what would really suck is if I take the Monday part on and then all those people decide they're not going to come because they change their minds. I don't know. I'm in a dilemma about that. So there's that. It's not exactly the most positive, endearing news. What else? And that's just on top. And that's all that information started like late last week and into being sick this week. So trying to fix it, trying to adjust it. We'll see how it goes. Barry might make it on Sunday. He might not. I don't know. We'll see. I suspect if Barry makes it on Sunday, he'll be there Monday as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, yeah, please give me your schedule. I will, not that I've been asking for it for, I don't know, since last year or sometime, but.
Yeah. It is last year.
Only every time we've had the podcast for the last ever, forever. So. Oh, there was something else I wanted to mention. I can't think of it now. Don't know. So, at any rate, Farm Show Week was this week.
Yes, it was.
The kids. Kids participated. One got a first place in the cooking category.
Mm-hmm.
For his meringue dessert thing. Cool. And then the other one got a placing in photography. It was like a fifth place, but.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Awesome.
Yay.
The funny part was that the place I go for milk and eggs, they're organic is what they are. That's why we go there. And the person who is manning the store, actually they went to the farm show too this past week.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting that they also went to the farm show.
Oh, it's awesome to go to once in a while. It's just, I figured the walking around would kill me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't go. I was like, you might be a typhoid Mary, you know?
Well, there's that. I don't know if I'm infectious yet. I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a few days since this crud started. And it's not like I'm hacking and wheezing too much. It's just run down. So I don't know. We'll see. But it should be fine for gamers. Should be totally over it by then. Yay. On the other hand, if I'm not, if I'm 6 feet under, just run gamers for the last one and give them the proceeds from whatever than the door and done with it. So
I'm hoping that is not the case. I have enough people that I pray for the positive souls at this point. I don't need another person added to the list. Come on.
It's all good. Yeah, I got much, not much else there. It's like, when do you want to come down again and get something done? Like,
I'm thinking next weekend.
next weekend. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, because I did not get my homework done. And definitely I wouldn't want, even if I didn't have my homework, did have my homework done. I'm heading out with my family to dinner on Saturday. And then of course Sunday is my Franciscan, so that they take the whole day. They take over the whole
Gotcha.
day. Starting at 1, we end up, we're done by like 4. So
Gotcha.
I get home, it's like time to start supper.
Yep. Totally got it. Okay.
Okay, well, I know with that,
Well.
we'll wrap up for the evening. Doug, it's been wonderful having you around. You get well.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a good night. So, wow. Oh, that's what that was. Okay. Sorry. Got to see the chat from last week. I didn't realize that you actually can put chat in the voice channel. So I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I'm not used to Discord. Give me a break. But that definitely did not expect it to take as long as it did to answer the question, but that might actually be the case. It'll take somewhere between 20 minutes to half an hour, so that's a good part of the podcast. So with that and one topic, we have a podcast. So with that, I'm Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.